praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. These programs are based on the ministry of Witness Lee and his 21-year crowning work, The Life Study of the Bible, which focuses on the enjoyment of Christ as the divine life as revealed in the Bible. We hope that through these studies you'll be brought into a deeper enjoyment of the Scriptures and of our dear and precious Lord Jesus. You can contact us by sending email to radio@lsm.org or reach us toll-free 888-LIFE-STUDY. Now, let's join today's program. In Genesis chapter 2, God produced a bride for Adam by first putting him to sleep and then taking something from his side. And Jehovah God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he took one of his ribs. And Jehovah God built the rib into a woman and brought her to the man. And the man said, "This time this is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh." When Christ was dying on the cross, something was also released from his side. John chapter 19. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately there came out blood and water. Now, listen to Ephesians 5. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, cleansing her by the washing of the water in the word, that he might present the church to himself glorious, not having spot or wrinkle or any such things, but that she would be holy and without blemish. Blood and water from the side of our Lord Jesus, a rib from the side of Adam. In both cases, the result is a bride. Bob Danker has joined us for fellowship on one of the most marvelous portions in Scripture. Bob, welcome to the program.
It's good to be back, Chris. I agree. This is one of the most marvelous portions in the Scriptures. Just to see how this picture in Genesis chapter 2 concerning the producing of Eve matches precisely the picture in John and Ephesians in the New Testament. It is a great revelation and one that every believer, even every man, needs to see.
We had a program yesterday, really, Bob, where we had these three passages, Genesis 2, John 19, and Ephesians 5, brought together for us to show us this correlation, this great type in the Old Testament, its fulfillment in the New Testament. I think it's worth having a review. We're going to be really on the same topic today, just looking at some of the details a bit. But for those who missed the program yesterday, maybe you could summarize what we got into.
Well, of course, in Genesis, you see the picture of Adam being created by God, yet having no wife, no helpmeet, no one to match or correspond to him.
Right.
And he could not find a helpmeet among all the animals that he had named. So God came in to do something for him. Actually, Adam's need for a wife really is a picture of Christ's need for a bride. So God came in and put Adam to sleep and then took the rib from his side, and then Genesis says something marvelous. It says, and he built a woman out of this rib.
Right.
He didn't use the dust of the ground as he did in creating Adam. He used only the rib out of Adam's side to build this woman, Eve. And then he brought the woman to the man, and he immediately recognized that she had been taken out of him. He was her source. She had come out of him, and she matched him perfectly, because she was the same as he in life and nature, in every way.
In stature.
In stature and so forth. So she was a perfect counterpart. Well, then we go to the New Testament, and we find out that in the four Gospels, we see that Christ came as a man through incarnation to find a bride for himself. He presented himself numbers of times as the bridegroom. He was looking for the bride. How could he get a bride to match him? Well, just as something had to be taken out of Adam to build Eve, something had to be taken out of Christ to build the church. And we see there in John chapter 19, where the Lord was crucified on the cross, the soldiers pierced his side, and out came blood and water. Well, we know that blood came out to redeem, to wash away sin, and water came out to impart life to God's chosen people. And then in Ephesians, we see something similar. There, Christ loved the church, gave himself up for her.
Right.
That means he died for her. Then it says he's sanctifying the church, cleansing the church, preparing the church to be the bride, which will one day be presented to him. So the picture in the Old Testament matches the reality in the New Testament, and this is only God could write the Bible with such a correspondence between the two portions of the Word.
It just leaves you almost speechless when you consider the wisdom of the divine revelation, the way the Bible is structured. Of course, well, who knows what John had in view, what Moses had in view when Genesis and John, the Gospels, were written. Even what Paul had in view, though, we have a pretty good idea that Paul was really seeing the whole divine revelation. Even his quotation from Genesis there at the end of this passage in Ephesians 5 indicates he had this universal view of God's eternal purpose, the preparation of the bride being produced from that which came from the Lord's side. It's just majestic, Bob.
Absolutely majestic.
It's beyond human capacity to even convey such a high, profound, and divine truth in this way.
That's right. Once we see this vision of the church being produced out of divine life, out of the very element that is taken out of Christ, then our view of the church is revolutionized.
Really?
We'd never again would have the concept that the church is a building on a corner with a pointed roof. No, the church is Christ dispensed into us and constituted into us to be one with us.
Right.
The church is Christ himself in us.
Tremendous. Well, today we want to look at this sanctifying process, really, which is the producing, the building of the bride from the substance that comes from Christ's side. And he begins by pointing out, even in the grammar of these three verses in Ephesians 5, we have this little word, that, that appears repeatedly, indicating that at each stage what is happening is for something else. Let me read again. That he might sanctify her, cleansing her by the washing of the water in the word. And then verse 27, that he might present the church to himself glorious. This is a marvelous picture as well, to see these steps, these stages that Christ is taking to produce the bride. Let's go to Witness Lee.
Verses 25 through 27. These three verses are just one long sentence. And these three verses are combined together by this word that twice. At the beginning of verse 26, you have that. Then at the beginning of verse 27, you have that. Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. That. For what purpose? That he might sanctify her. And the way to sanctify her is to cleanse her by the washing of the water of the word. Sanctifying is by the cleansing. Cleansing is by the washing. And the washing is in the water. And the water is in the word. Is this all? No. Still another that. He might present the church to himself. You see, he loved the church and gave up himself for the church that he may sanctify her. And he sanctifies her that he may present her to himself. He loved the church and he gave up himself for the church. No doubt, that is for what? For redemption and for also life imparting. Blood and water came out of the side of Jesus. And blood there in John 19 was for redemption. And water there was for what? For life imparting. So the church came into existence. But the bone is here, the rib is here, but it needs the transformation. If was a rib taken out of Adam's side. But how could a piece of rib become a pretty wife? See, you need what? You need the transformation. And you have to know the sanctifying here includes the transformation. It includes the growth. It includes the building up. All these are all implied in this one thing, the sanctifying. Then what? Then the church becomes complete. The church becomes perfect, becomes the real and practical if. It is through all this kind of all-inclusive sanctification that the church is complete. The church is perfected. The church comes to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So Christ can present such a perfect church to himself.
Bob, I don't know how you feel, but I come to appreciate in this marvelous section even more this little word, that. For many people, probably for ourselves, for a good part of our Christian life, our understanding was that Christ shed his blood that we could go to heaven. But that is unfortunately missing the point of this presentation, isn't it?
It certainly is, Chris. Actually, based upon these verses, the Lord loved the church and gave himself up for the church so that he could produce the church to be a bride for himself. Uh-huh. The Lord intended to gain something for his own satisfaction. So in order to have a bride, there needed to be a process. The Lord himself first had to give himself up. He had to be incarnated and then crucified so that he could flow out his blood to redeem us and flow out his life to regenerate us, to impart that life into us. Then, after regenerating us, there's a further process needed, and that is the process of sanctification, which, as Witness Lee pointed out, includes growth, transformation, and building up.
Mm-hmm.
In order to have a perfect bride, a glorious church, as we see mentioned here in verse 27, it's not just a matter of imparting life to us once for all.
Right.
It's a matter of a process of this life flowing in us throughout our whole Christian life and gradually adding to us Christ's divine element. By this, we grow. We grow in the divine life, grow in the life of Christ. And also, we're transformed into his image. And we are built up together, the believers, built up together to be a corporate bride, which matches Christ, which expresses him, looks like him, thinks like him,
yeah,
speaks like him,
exactly,
does everything, is the same as he is in every way, a glorious church that can match him and one day be presented to him to be his bride.
Bob, the word sanctify here, as he just pointed out, includes more than the traditional religious definition of being set apart or set aside for God's use. The cleansing is incorporated in the sanctifying rite. The, as you said, the growth, of course, the one little rib becomes the full bride of Adam, in full in stature, matching him, and so that implies the growth process that's included here, the building up process included here. As we come back to this portion and look at it again in this coming section, a couple of other aspects are added in verse 29 in the same passage. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as Christ also the church. So the sanctifying work, the preparatory work, is incorporating all of these processes, all of these aspects of the building up and maturing of the bride. Let's look at these in a little more detail in this coming portion.
By what way the Lord is sanctifying us? It says here, by cleansing. Cleansing is needed with us. Why? Because we got fallen. We got contaminated with too many dirty things. All these dirty things within us and upon us that need to be cleansed away. The natural life, the self, the old man, the flesh, the lusts, also the spot and the wrinkle. All these things need to be cleansed away. Today, the Lord nourishing and cherishing are going along with his cleansing, because we are in a dirty world with a dirty being. So we need not only the nourishing, the cherishing, but also the cleansing. But come to the world, time after time, we get the nourishing, we get the cherishing. Eventually, these two things, nourishing, cherishing, do some work within us. Not just to nourish us, not just to cherish us, but also to cleanse us spontaneously, even unconsciously. A cleansing is going on with us. As long as we come to the Word to pick up the nourishing and to get the cherishing, a kind of cleansing is going on within us. Come to the Word to get you washed. You go to the bank to count the money. The money is the most dirty thing. And you come back from the bank, you go to where? To the basin and wash your hands. You go to contact the world for half a day at the noontime, at the lunch break, wash yourself and wash away all the dirt. You have to come to the world again and again. The water is in the world.
Bob, it's very clear that this sanctifying here by the cleansing is through the washing of the water in the Word. That's right in verse 26, right in the middle of this passage. And I think we can all identify with what he was getting at here at the end of his speaking, this contaminating that happens every day in our daily life.
The world is a dirty place, Chris, and we are dirty people, so
yeah.
We get contaminated rather easily in our daily living. This is why we need to come to the Word of God again and again, even throughout the day. Because in the Word of God, there is cleansing, washing water. And this water is just the flowing divine life, the flowing life of Christ, which is really the Spirit of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So when we come to read the Word, we open our heart, we exercise our spirit, and we can contact the Lord himself in the Word. And this Lord that we contact is the life-giving Spirit, the flowing, cleansing, pure water of life. When we drink of him, we receive him into us through the Word, so many positive elements are brought into us to build us up. At the same time, there's a metabolic cleansing going on to wash away all the negative things within us. There's really no other way for us to be purified inwardly, to be purified, and at the same time to be remade, reconstructed, to be built up,
right?
To be a corporate bride to match Christ in life, in nature, in appearance, so that we can be presented to him. The water that cleanses us, that sanctifies us, that causes us to be a suitable match for Christ, is in the Word of God. This portion shows us how critical it is that we would come to the Word daily, even several times a day, to receive this washing water.
This best become a spontaneous habit for us, shouldn't it? It's actually impossible not to be contaminated in our daily life. We don't set out to even to do dirty things, but just our touch with the world contaminates us, and maybe our business dealings. Even in the recent events that have happened, with the evil that has gone on and the war, et cetera, et cetera, and just staying sort of abreast of what's happening, in a sense, kind of has a contaminating effect. I've found myself many times after reading an account or listening to a news report, really needing to contact the Lord to get renewed again.
I have experienced the same thing. We need the washing in the Word.
Let's go back to Witness Lee. In this last section, it really pretty much speaks for itself. Here is a picture that I think will make this point ever so clear. Here's Witness Lee.
So many years ago, I read a manuscript of Brother Nee's message concerning reading the Bible. While Brother Nee was speaking on reading the Bible, a sister asked such a question. Brother Nee, I have a bad memory. I read, I forget. I read, I forget. I can never remember anything I read. What, Brother Nee? Then do I need to read the Bible and another, I read, I forget. There's no need for me to read. But the need was good. Right away, he said, that was in China. You know, he said, all the ladies wash their rice for making food. They wash their rice in a basket made with willows. And they put the rice in the basket, and they put the basket into the river, or into a pond. They just pull the basket into the pond and pull it up, and into the pond and pull it up, into the water and pull it up, into the water and pull it up. But then he says, this may be put in the water more than 10 times, and when it is pulled up, every bit of water goes. This means you read the Bible, the Bible goes. You read the Bible goes. Every bit of Bible goes. But then he said, look at the good thing is this. Both the basket and the rice are washed. The basket, just like you may ask, I cannot retain any water. Why you need to put me into the water? So stop putting me into the water. No. Stop putting you in the water. You'll be dirty. And this putting you into the water again and again and again, even though no water remains, yet you get washed. You just come to the Word in the morning, lunchtime, evening time, before bed. I tell you, you just read 10 verses. You get what? Washed. Put your basket into the water again and again and again. There is the water in the Word that washes.
Bob, I remember hearing this story years and years ago, and it made a big impression. I've retold it to my own children, to other young people, but it was a real joy to discover it again as we were preparing for this program in this passage in Ephesians. It's a marvelous picture, isn't it, of how the Word can really be the washing element.
It is a marvelous picture, and it's a tremendous encouragement.
Yeah.
No matter whether you have a good memory or a bad memory, whether what you read stays with you or just goes away after a short time, we all need to come to the Word again and again and put our basket
in the water.
That means our being, our human being, our mind, all our inward parts, into the water of the Word for the cleansing, for the washing. And this washing will eventually cause us to become a part of the glorious church, the glorious bride of Christ.
So I think, as he pointed out here, many times we do come to the Word and we come away thinking that I can't hardly remember what I read. We're not encouraging that kind of reading, but the point is just the immersion into the water of the Word in and of itself. There's a value there. There's a washing there. There's a carrying away of the dirty element, the contaminating element. And of course, over time, the Word does begin to stick almost without our being aware of it, but spontaneously verses will be there that otherwise we could never have remembered. But it's that constant continuing exposure to the Word that has the permanent washing effect.
That's exactly right, Chris. The more we come to the Word, the more we will experience an inward transformation, something that we could never do to ourselves or for ourselves. The water in the Word will do everything.
Well, we have said it before. I will say it again today as we close. We are privileged to be able to handle such words as these and present them to you in these radio programs. And I cannot recommend enough that you take advantage of the written life study messages. This life study of Ephesians, as we have said, and I know it sounds redundant, but we do genuinely mean it. This life study is a treasure. It is a rich, valuable resource, material that you should have. We hope you'll contact us about getting it. We're not here trying to sell books, believe me. Our heart is that all of God's people would be enriched and nourished and cherished with this ministry unlocking these hidden, marvelous treasures in His Word. Please contact us. Our toll-free number, 1-888-LIFE-STUDY, 888-543-3788. We have one program left this week. We're going to remain in this portion in Ephesians 5 tomorrow. And we do encourage you. Hope you'll be back then. Today, for Bob Danker, I'm Chris Weil. Thank you very much for listening.
Receive us into thy
Thank you for listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. These programs consist of excerpts from Witness Lee's spoken ministry, along with our discussion and comments, and all focusing on God's heart's desire that we would enjoy Christ as the divine life for man. These life study messages show us that every book of the Bible reveal that enjoying Him in this way will bring us to the goal of our salvation. There are more than 1,700 programs like this one available online, free of charge, that you can download, stream live, or add to your podcast subscription. Just visit our website, lsmradio.com. That's lsmradio.com. You can also reach us by email, radio@lsm.org. Thanks for listening today.